In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Peter writing in his letter says this. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. I'm going to do a 2 Peter 1 with us this morning, where what Peter is saying, as he's writing to these Christians, he says, what I'm going to write to you is not something new. Okay, it's not something new. It's something, in fact, that you know and are established in. Wow. So they know the truth and they are practicing these truths. He says in verse 13, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Okay, to refresh your memory, to stir you up by way of reminder. Okay, and so what he's really saying is, as we continue to hear God's truth, and
okay, let's get on. So as we hear God's truth, as a reminder, we may know it, we may be practicing it, but Peter is saying something happens that we get refreshed and we get stirred. All right? So turn to somebody and say, get ready to be stirred. You know, we hear people using this word quite often. People, you say, oh, by the grace of God. Have you heard people saying that? Yeah? And it's not just within the church, even people out in the world, you know, who know nothing about Jesus will say, oh, it's grace, the grace of God. And really, this morning, I'd like to speak about and remind us about the wonderful grace of God. Now, most of us who are followers of Jesus know about the grace of God. We've been established in the grace of God. In fact, I believe grace is the air of heaven. Yeah, we're going to go to heaven, and we are there only by grace. And so this morning, we're going to quickly look at a few things on what is this grace of God. For those of you who are new here and who may not yet know about Jesus and the grace of God, this is going to be an exciting time for you. Okay, so let's look at what is the grace of God. You know, we know. The Bible tells us, experience shows us that this world is caught up in sin and evil. I don't know about you, but reading the newspaper every morning is not a pleasurable experience for me. What about you? Yeah, it's not. You read it and, oh, murders, rapes, all kinds of things happen, accidents, and you say, this is just horrible, horrible, horrible. You know, we are aware of that. And not only are we aware of sin out there in the world, but we're also aware of sin right here within us. We sin. We look at our family, our friends. You know, we sin. Okay? They sin. We look at our companies. Our bosses sin. Yeah, but we also sin. That's all that happens. And so, sin is all over the place. And really, the atmosphere of earth is full of sin, isn't it? People are devising newer and newer ways to commit heinous and grievous sins. And that's where the world is heading, as we see it. But then, like a bolt from the blue, we have the grace of God. And this morning, we're going to look at what the grace of God has done for us. Okay? And we're going to look at three things that the grace of God does. Now, because of sin, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, it's not just me or you, but every man, woman, and child who ever lived on this earth has sinned. Maybe you've never heard about this before, but you're a sinner. And not only are we sinners, but if we keep a record of our sins, we'll realize we are big sinners. Turn to somebody and say, big sinners. Big sinners. If you talk to the man on the street, he'll say, I'm not a big sinner. I do a few mistakes here and there. But the reality is, we are big sinners. And the Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. How many people look forward to their salaries every month? Put your hand up. Don't you? At the first of the month or whatever the date is, we are saying, I'm waiting for my salary, waiting for the message on my mobile phone. Has the amount been credited? Because you know that you worked and you're going to get your wages. But the Bible tells us, for all has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23, it says, the wages or the salary of sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That means because we have sinned, there is a punishment and a penalty, and that is death. There's physical death on earth, and then there is an eternal death after the grave, where we will be separated from a holy God forever and ever. Now, it doesn't matter what your background is, whether you're from North India, South India, whether you're from out of India, you know, but it's the same thing for each and every one of us. And in this sad mess of things comes hope. And that hope comes in the person of Jesus Christ. All right? And so that helps us understand what the grace of God is. And so we're going to look at three things this morning as a way of reminder that the grace of God brings for us. And the first thing is this. The grace of God brings us the gift of justification. What does that mean? All right? We're going to look at that. Now, in Romans 3:24, it says, and we are justified by His grace as a gift. Yeah? And we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Now, this is a reminder. What is this justification? Okay, this is what it is. Imagine you were doing a very important exam, all right? You know, and all these exams are there, the NET, the UPSC, all these exams are there. Now, it's a very difficult exam, and not only is it difficult, but there is negative marking. Don't you hate those exams with negative marking? You know, it's one thing to not know the answer. Okay, you get nothing for the answer. It's worse if when you don't know the answer, they give you a minus one. You know, instead of a plus one. So imagine we're doing this exam, and that's what it is. And imagine at the end of the exam, there's a teacher that says, if you fail this exam, and you get, you know, and you don't pass the exam with 100 upon 100, that's the passing mark, okay? And if you have a negative mark, you are going to be punished. Would we like to do such an exam? Not at all, you know? But that's how the life is, the examination of life. Because of sin, there is negative marking. That means we deserve a punishment because we have sinned. That's what it is. Okay? And so as we look through the exam of life, we see that all of us have sinned. Now the good news is this. The good news is Jesus saw us in the sorry state that we were in. That we are all sinners, and this is what He did. He came down from heaven. Jesus is the Son of God. And He came down from heaven. He took the form of a man. And He lived a sinless life, something that we could not live. And He died on the cross. And He rose from the dead. And He paid the price for our sin. Isn't that good news? Wow. It's like somebody does the exam and scores 100 out of 100. And you've got minus 100 upon 100. And what Jesus did is, when we say justification, is this. It means that God looks at us, and instead of declaring us guilty, He says, not guilty. Wow, how can that happen? Okay? We were sentenced to death because of our sin. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, okay? And Jesus made a provision that if we put our faith in Him, if we just believe in who He is, and what He has done. Who He is, He's fully God and fully man. And what He has done, that He died on the cross for our sins, what He promises is that our sins will be completely forgiven. Wow, what a relief. All our sins, past, present, and future, will be wiped out. That's half of justification. The second half is this. Not only, now, you know, if our negative marking is forgiven, our score is what? 0 out of 100. That still doesn't pass us. But what Jesus does is he gives us the grace marks that are needed. And he says, because he has scored perfectly, he gives us 100 out of 100. Wow. And so that is called justification. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says this. He who had no sin, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, this is very important. Listen to me. When God sees you this morning, if you have believed in Jesus, God sees you as righteous. 100 out of 100. He sees you as righteous positionally, not in performance. There's a big difference there, okay? Positionally, you are righteous. Do you believe that? We've got, now that's why I'm reminding us, we've got to believe this truth. See that there? God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The good news of Jesus is that if you have trusted Jesus this morning, you are as righteous as Jesus. Isn't that mind-blowing? You are as righteous as Jesus. Now, big difference. We are as righteous as Jesus positionally. That's how God sees us. But we are not there in our performance as yet. That's on the cards. Okay? So it's like this. It's like Jesus did the maths test. He got 100 out of 100. Wow. You got minus 100. And Jesus says, I am giving you my score. You are now 100 out of 100. Great. You've got the certificate. But then Jesus says, now I'm going to coach you and help you become an expert in maths so that you can actually score 100 out of 100. That's an important bit we shouldn't miss out. Okay? So we are righteous in position, but we are getting there in performance. And so when we live our lives, we can choose to rebel against Jesus. We can choose not to follow him even after he has declared us righteous. But if we have truly trusted in him, he will draw us and bring us to him. Okay, so the first wonderful news about grace is I'm justified. My sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. God sees me as righteous, and he's changing me and making me more and more like Jesus. So that's important. We've got to cooperate with that process. Okay, we've got to say, Jesus, I'm so thankful you died for me. You shed your blood, you declaring me righteous, and now you're helping me become more and more like you. All right? And one of the signs that you are truly saved, truly justified, is you want to become like Jesus. That's a sign. Okay, let's look at the second thing that we get from grace, and it's the gift of eternal life. You know, you ask anybody, most people say, I want to live. Very few people say, I want to die. All right? Most people say, I want to live. How long do you want to live? Well, as long as I can. You know, those who are in their 20s will say, or 30s will say, let me live till I'm at least 70. Those who are in their 50s and 60s say, I'd like to reach 80 at least. Those who are in their 70s say, well, I could live to 90 or 100. You know, this eternity has been placed in the hearts of men. That's what the Bible says. We have a desire for life, not for death. When people desire death, that's an anomaly. It's an abnormality. But really, we have a desire for life. You know, when God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, his desire was that they would live forever. You remember there were two trees there? Yeah, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. They were permitted to eat from every tree in the garden except one. Which one? The knowledge of good and evil. They could eat from the tree of life. But unfortunately, we know what happened. They sinned, and then God cut them off from the tree of life and said, no, not yet. But what happened in the Garden of Eden has now been reversed with what Jesus has done. Jesus came not only to forgive us of our sins, but to give us eternal life. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Okay? Let's look at 1 John 5:13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Friends, this morning, life eternal is available to each and every one of us. Okay? In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we looked at it earlier. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? The gift of God. The creator of the universe wants to gift us eternal life. Wow. Have you ever received a gift? Yes. Okay, imagine it's your birthday and somebody comes with a nice gift. I don't know what it is. Maybe, you know, a shirt, a sari, a box of chocolates. Have you ever done this when they give you the gift? You know, have you said, thank you so much, this is so expensive, can I pay you something for it? No. They feel absolutely insulted, you know, if you did that. Or have they ever done this to you? You know, they give you a wonderful gift. Let's say it's your wedding anniversary, you know, maybe the 10th wedding anniversary or something, and they give you an expensive dinner set costing a few thousands. Wow, beautiful dinner set. And they say, we really hope you like it. And then before leaving, they say, oh, by the way, here's the bill. You know, pay me whenever you can. Has it ever happened to you? I hope not. Okay? You see, so a gift is something that is freely given. You don't pay for it, and the person who's given it to you does not expect you to repay, to pay for that gift. And it's the same thing with the gift of eternal life. Okay? Salvation is the gift of God. Can you see that there? It's the gift of God. You know, all over the world, people are searching for salvation. They want to have their sins forgiven. And they're trying to earn it. They're saying, let me do some good deeds. Let me do some penances. Let me beat my body. Let me fast. Let me dip in a river. Let me go up to a mountain. Let me say these prayers. And all these different things, they're trying to earn salvation. But God says, salvation is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You cannot pay for it. And so that's the amazing thing about salvation. I want to remind us this morning, for those who have already put their faith in Jesus, Jesus does not expect you to repay him in that sense. You cannot earn salvation. Because what sometimes happens is we start by grace. Say, yes, Lord, I've sinned. I can't do anything. And then we try to live by law. Okay, we say, okay, now that I'm saved, I must do this and this and this and this. And we're trying to earn, in that sense, God's favor or pay for our salvation. Okay? We cannot pay God back for that. We cannot earn our salvation. Okay? It's a different thing that we are called to live a righteous life. And that's what we are called to do. And that we'll look at next week. Okay? So we can't pay for our salvation. It's a gift of God, the gift of eternal life. In John, you know, when does this eternal life start? Now, many people think eternal life will start after I die. Not true. Look at John chapter 17, verse 3, which says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This morning, if you've trusted in Jesus, eternal life can begin right now, right here. For those who don't know Jesus yet, you walked in here a living corpse. All of us walked in like that. But because of our faith in Jesus, we know that we have eternal life. In a sense, we may physically die, but spiritually, we will live forever and ever. Okay? The third thing that God gives us, okay, the first one is the gift of justification. I'm righteous as Jesus is righteous. God sees me as righteous. Wonderful. Second one is the gift of eternal life. I'm going to live forever and ever. You know, just before we go on to the next point, just to realize that ever and ever is heaven. Heaven is where the presence of God is. And Revelation uses amazing imagery to show us what heaven is like. You know, heaven is a place where there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no darkness. Okay? The presence of God is there, and we will live there forever and ever and ever. Wow. This morning, if you don't know that you're going to go to be with Jesus in heaven, I would urge you to put your trust in Jesus this morning. For those of us who already know Jesus, I would urge you now to say, I want to live in a way that brings glory to God. I want to become more like Jesus. I want to serve Him and give myself to Him. The third thing is the gift of redemption. What does that mean? Another aspect of the salvation by grace. And redemption means being, you know, if you have something that has been purchased again, you're redeeming it. You know, it's like a ransom. Somebody, a child has been kidnapped. The father pays the ransom to purchase or buy back the child. Now, the Bible tells us that we were all slaves to sin. Did you know that? Every person born on this earth is a slave to sin. But one day, Jesus came and set us free. We sang about that this morning. He set us free from the bondage to sin, and now He purchased us by His precious blood. And now we belong to Jesus. We are not slaves of sin, but slaves of righteousness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 says this, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Verse 19, "You are not your own." Verse 20, "You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Now, imagine you're working in the office. Your timings are 9 to 5. You've done your day's work and you're leaving. And as you go home, you say bye to your boss. And as you walk out, the boss says, "Oh, by the way, what are you doing this evening?" So you say, "Well, I'm going with my friends. We're going to watch a movie." And the boss says, "Hey, I don't want you to watch a movie." What will you tell him? "Listen, I'm watching a movie. In my time, I can do what I want to do." Yeah? "I'm working for you from 9 to 5. During those hours, I'm not supposed to watch a movie, but I can do what I want, you know, after work." Why? Because your boss does not own you. But here it says, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price." Friends, Jesus, if you've trusted in Jesus for your salvation, guess who owns you? Jesus. We are not our own. We were purchased with a price. So how we live our lives, not 9 to 5, but 24/7, belongs to Jesus. All right? So we can't live our life any which way we want to. We have a responsibility of how we are handling ourselves. Our time, our talents, our treasures, you know, everything that we have belongs to Jesus. Galatians 3:13 tells us different things that we have received as a result of redemption. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So Jesus, by dying on the cross, He delivered us from so many things. Here's one of them. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Okay? You see, we know there is a law. Yeah? We don't go around, we don't go around killing people or robbing stuff, because we know we have a conscience. Everybody has it, you know. But the law is such that it says that if you break one part of the law, one law, you're guilty of breaking all the law. Okay? And what Jesus did is, by His blood, He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Wow. So the law doesn't have any hold upon us. Not only did it redeem us from the curse of the law, but He placed us into His family. You know, imagine you're a rich businessman. You know, lots of expensive things in your home, and a thief came in and he burgled the house. He robbed your latest iPhone. He robbed your flat screen TV. He took your dishwasher, microwave, whatever, your jewels, and went away. Okay? And that thief was caught. Now, the thief deserves to be punished. But imagine if you say, I forgive him. Isn't that noble? Have you ever heard of that happening? Very, very rare. Forgiving would be a wonderful thing. But imagine if he says, I'm not just going to forgive you. I want you to come and live in my house. Wow! You know, even to be a servant would be wonderful. You know, living on the streets, robbing, no. Live in the house, wash my, do the jadu pocha, do all that, great. That at least you can earn a living. But he says, no, I don't want you to live as a servant. I want you to live as a son. I'm going to adopt you into my family. And you know, all this business, you're going to be co-owners with that. Unbelievable, isn't it? It's like a fairy story. But friends, this is what has happened to us. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, God has adopted us into his family. Wow. To redeem those living under the law that we might receive the full rights as sons. Now we've got to understand that word grace has so much in it. Everything that Jesus owns, we are co-heirs with him. Wow. What a glorious inheritance we have. Wonderful. Okay. Not only has he adopted us as his sons, he has delivered us from the bondage of sin. We saw that a little earlier on. In Titus 2:14, Titus chapter 2 verse 14 says that when the grace of God appeared, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Can we look at Titus 2 verse 11? 11 and 12, that whole thing. For the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men. Next one. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So the grace of God is not a license to sin. It doesn't mean that my sins are forgiven so I can live any which way I want. No. If the grace of God is truly present in us, we will be able to say no to sin and we will be able to lead productive and useful lives. Okay? So it says, say no to sin and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And verse 14. And God is looking for a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So one of the signs of the grace of God upon our lives is that we are fighting with sin. And we are working to do good. And that needs to happen in increasing measure. We can't say, you know, 10 years ago, I helped an old lady cross the street. That won't cut it. Okay, there's got to be good works in our lives on a daily, regular basis. Okay, we've got to be fighting sin and growing in godliness and holiness. So this morning we've looked at the grace of God. We've looked at three things. We've got his great salvation in justifying us. Wow. When you walk out of this place, you know, we can walk with our heads held high, knowing that Jesus sees us as righteous. From time to time, we will sin. But even when we sin, what we need to do is quickly go back to Jesus. Jesus, forgive me. I shouldn't have said those words or had those thoughts or done this or not done that. Say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me by your blood. But know this, that you are righteous. We need to remember that we have a great hope, a great future. You know, in our nation today, people are worried about your future. I don't know if you know it, but there are 1 million people entering the workforce every month in India. 1 million people. Wow, that's a phenomenal number. Okay? And young people can say, is there hope? What's the future? But if you are in Jesus, if you've trusted in him, you have a glorious future. Not just on earth, but even at the end of time, because forever and ever you will be with him in eternity. Wow, that's our great hope. And thirdly, we have the gift of not just eternal life, but redemption. He's ransomed you. He's purchased you with his blood. You belong to him. He's broken the bondage of sin. Wow, this is amazing. He's adopted you into his family as sons, and we are co-heirs with Christ. That is amazing. How should we live? Simple, as he said. Put to death sin, live self-control, upright, and godly lives. That's one side of it. The other side is who are eager to do what is good. And I want to stir us this morning and say, listen, look for opportunities to do what is good. Serve, give. You know, there are so many needs out there in the world. There are people who are hurting, yeah, people who may have disabilities. There are all kinds of needs. There are the poor, which we need to remember. We have been blessed so much. God has a plan and a destiny for each one of you. Who knows? A Mother Teresa could emerge from among us. Yeah, could happen. You know, who knows what could happen? Let's be eager to do what is good. Amen. Shall we pray this morning? Lord, we thank you for your amazing, amazing grace upon our lives, Lord. We have received forgiveness of sins. We have received salvation. And you've called us to a great future, Lord. Thank you for that. If there is anybody this morning who has not yet put their trust in Jesus, today is the day of salvation. In your heart, say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I trust in you. You rose again from the dead. You are the only God. And if you do that this morning, a miracle will take place in your life. You will cross over from death to life. Wow. And I'd love to speak to you after the meeting if you've done that in your heart. Amen.